Welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. I've been recording episodes of Walnut Grovecast for nearly 4 years, and as we approach our 100th episode, I can't help but look back and cherish the moments that have meant so much to me. When I launched the Patreon campaign about a year ago, I didn't know if anybody would support this little show about Little House on the Prairie. But to my surprise, many have, and with their continued support, it allows me to not only continue releasing episodes, which are now permanently weekly, by the way, but also create small items like stickers and stuff like that. Most of you have gotten back to me about your favorite character. It is all for something that I'm working on. I think you will enjoy what shows up on your doorstep very soon. I would like to thank the following supporters for their continuous support. And if I get anyone's name wrong, please send me an email or hit me up on Facebook. I would really appreciate knowing how to pronounce your last name or first name. Suzanne Holland, Spunky Cheek, Leah Mitchell, Laura Solarin, Kim and Jack Lair, Dana Wilkins, Chantel Dubois-Nishiyama, Christopher Hassler, Matt Mercier, Peyton England, Stacy Keller, Aaron Wortman, Angela Bowen, Ann Quinn, Dottie Cashin, Dean Butler, Gerald Lang, Ginny Comer, Jeannie Schneider-Mitchell, I hope you're feeling better, Jeannie, by the way, Jeff Griffin, Laura Furman, Megan Parker, Melissa Gilbert, The No Agenda Podcast, Rebecca Harris, Sherry Benner, Susan King, Teresa Trapp, Valerie Williams, Whitney, Brian S., Bobby Young, Brenda Worsley, Chris Cooling from the Forgotten.tv podcast, Don Roberts, and Max Duration. Thank you again for your support, and I look forward to making many, many more episodes. If you would like to support Walnut Grovecast, please visit patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Without further delay, please enjoy the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grove is a place to be. If you live in 1863, Walnut Grove is a place to be. If you live in 1863, we never come to meet his family. I was homeless. Hello and welcome to Walnut Grovecast. My name is Mark, and I am on the line with two young ladies. We have Dottie Cashin. Whoops, I'll stop that. And we have Dottie returning, and we have Courtney Apitier. I'm never going to say your last name correctly, so hopefully you can set the record straight by saying it yourself. But we have Courtney returning as well. Thank you guys for taking the time to come on here and talk to me about this wonderful, wonderful episode. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well.
And, you know, who chose this episode? Because I left it up to you guys to kind of decide which episode to really run with.
I think it was Courtney, because I asked her her favorite episodes, and she mentioned this one.
Really? Mm-hmm. Now, this is something that I think Courtney and I talked about, and that's the first episode that you'd ever seen. Did we talk about that?
The first episode I ever saw was like A Matter of Faith.
Mm-hmm. And Dottie, do you remember the first episode that you ever saw of Little House on the Prairie, or the episode that I guess inspired a rewatch of it, or just to, you know, jump in?
I think it was the first one ever was the camp out.
It's really?
Way back in my head, yeah.
That's really interesting. I don't remember which was my first. I just remember, you know, it was still on the air when I first started watching it, and it was at the tail end of its series. But, yeah, I mean, it was already in syndication, and the reruns were kind of being run, and you really couldn't get away from Little House on the Prairie back in those days.
So. Yeah, because I got season 2 from a friend, and then I just collected season one all the way up. So, starting at season two.
And we know that Dottie has quite a collection of, that I'm, thankfully she's going to throw them all away, actually.
So. Yeah.
No, but you've acquired a collection. Both of you actually have acquired a collection of the show, and thanks to this show, I acquire quite a collection of things myself, which I did not expect to have. So I actually get sent a decent amount of stuff from people who, like very kind people who listen to the show, but also people who are on the show. So Charlotte Stewart sent me a few things, and Dean Butler was kind enough to send me some stuff. And just, you know, a couple of people sent me some very, very nice things. And although I collect things, I'm a big collector of things. I never expected to collect this stuff. So this is the stuff that I'm hoping to kind of do a 180 with and give back to the listeners of the show. Because I don't think I should have them, to be honest with you. Unless it says to Mark, I don't have too much of a connection. But Wendy Lou Lee, she actually sent me a few of those little wagons, you know, that she made. So just for fun, next week I'm going to give one away to one of the supporters. And just, I don't know, anything to keep our mind off of the news and onto 1870s wackiness. And this episode does not at all translate to anything but wackiness. So do you want to talk about the history of the show and, you know, when it aired and what show we're doing? I don't know who does. You have to flip a coin.
I actually don't have that information in here.
Oh, okay.
I have the information about the train and stuff.
Okay. Well, this episode aired on February 11th, which was my mother's birthday, 1976, which makes me had just turned 3 years old, because my birthday was February 7th. So here I was just probably...
That's Laura Ingalls' birthday.
I know. Laura Ingalls Wilder. And I should...
Special.
And Alejandro Jodorowsky, who's my favorite director in the whole world. And there's a number of people who share my birthday that I have a very strong connection to. So, yeah, I do share a birthday with LIW. So we're doing The Runaway Caboose, which is a very, very fun episode. I think this is one of the more memorable, lighter episodes, even though it could have ended very tragically, of course.
Mm-hmm.
What did you guys think of this particular episode? Like, what do you, when this is on, what do you think? Like, what is your first?
I thought Mary was bossy.
Huh. Four Eyes?
Yeah. I thought Mary was kind of wimpy in this episode.
Yeah.
Well, she does stand up for herself from time to time, you know, when he's saying, well, we'll get to it, but she does stand up for herself a little bit, but Mary went through a bit of a bossy phase, I think. They tried to rewrite the character, in my opinion, and it just didn't really translate too well onto screen. But, you know, if you look at the episode, the Gil Gerard episode, I don't know the title of it, but the carpenter, I forget what it is, but
the handyman.
Yes, the handyman.
Yeah.
She's, you know, as bossy as could be, right?
She was kind of scary in that episode.
Get away from my mother! I don't know the exact quote.
And the wolves.
Yeah, the wolves, which we just did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, Mary's a bossy one. So
I think it's all oldest sisters. I have one too.
Oh, really? So there you go. It's an older sister thing.
Yeah.
So here we are. Let's get into the episode. I'm going to play what basically sets us up for what's going on here.
I'd give anything to ride on a train like that.
Mary's been on one.
You have?
Uh-huh. All the way to Minneapolis.
You're lucky.
And it had an outhouse on it and everything.
Laura.
Well, that's what you said. Never.
Laura. It's like, everybody poops. Like, relax. Like, what are you doing? And we have Carl. Carl out of nowhere. I kind of... do either of you watch The Brady Bunch, or have you ever watched The Brady Bunch?
I have.
All right, so do you know Cousin Oliver?
I've only seen season one.
No, then you don't know Cousin Oliver.
I've seen the Brady Bunch, so.
But so do you know Cousin Oliver, who was in the last like three episodes?
I don't remember him.
So you guys didn't watch Little House. So there was it's basically a last ditch effort to add a kid to the mix, you know? And that's who I look at Carl and I just look at, they're just adding another kid here. But I like Carl. Carl's pretty good in this particular episode.
As, I think I like sexist. Andy better.
Yeah, I mean, everybody likes Andy. But Carl, I don't know. Something about Carl I like.
Bye. Come on, we better keep walking, or we'll be late.
And that, too, you know, it's kind of, you know, better keep walking. We, you know, always has to be the voice of reason. So they're going to continue talking about these trains, you know. Of course, we know right away, even the music has kind of a shuffling to it.
Yeah.
Your pa going to Springfield next week?
Sure, he's going with your pa.
I wish we could go. I wouldn't be able to get on the train, but at least I could sit up close.
Why don't you ask him?
Wouldn't do no good. I'd miss a school day.
But we're studying railroads. It'd just be like some extra special homework.
Yeah, so it'll just be some extra special homework. It's kind of like going overseas, right? In some schools, you know, if you're visiting Europe, you can actually get credit for that because you're exploring different cultures. I don't know. I think I really enjoy this aspect of it because it shows a little bit more of a conniving aspect to the kids, which is always fun to me.
Yeah.
You know, kids are kids, you know, and I don't know. I've definitely tried to pull this type of scheme off, and I don't know. I don't recall it working, but you always wanted it to work. But here's the scheme.
Pa, guess what?
You saw an elephant.
No. We're studying trains and railroads in school. We got a wonderful idea how to get extra credit.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
We thought we'd go with you and Mr. Edwards to Springfield and learn all about trains. You always say there's nothing better than seeing things firsthand.
Hey, now, hold on now. You'd be missing school.
Not really, Pa. It'd be just like school, only different. We can learn a lot.
Well, you can learn just as much by going to school. You can learn everything you have to know.
But Mr. Edwards is letting Carl go.
The first lie. The bold-faced lie, because later on she'll go on to say that, I wasn't lying. Here's your lie.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. I guess he'll be the only one getting extra credit.
Carl, what'd your ma say about that?
Well...
She didn't say anything.
Well, Grace thinks it's all right. I guess I shouldn't stand in the way of higher education. You can go.
It's a sucker bet. You know, I mean, he just fell for that one. Hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, right.
They saw him coming. So, there's a little bit more to that.
Thanks, Pa. Come on.
You shouldn't have lied.
I didn't yet.
What do you mean you didn't? You said Mr. Edwards said Carl could go, and then his ma didn't say anything.
Well, all we have to do is ask him if he says Carl can go. I didn't lie. Your ma didn't say anything about it, did she, Carl?
Of course not. She doesn't even know yet.
There, you see? All we have to do is get him to say yes.
And that's how crimes are committed, people.
Yeah, right?
But yeah, I like it when they act like this. It's kind of funny to me. So here we are at the Edwards home, which I always have to point out that these people have walls and curtains. And it's a lot nicer than...
Yeah, this is the house these Andy and the Garveys in.
Mm-hmm.
They replaced them.
Seems like everyone has a nicer house than the Ingalls.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, Pa's the hardest worker and the most famous.
Hey, what do you think of the new curtains?
They're beautiful.
Well, of course they're beautiful, you know. I did a lot of sewing on them. The fact is, I did most of it.
Pa? Oh,
hilarious.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure, fire away.
Well, we're studying about trains in school. And you and Mr. Ingalls are going to Springfield. Well, I thought...
We thought we could learn a lot more about trains firsthand and get extra credit.
Oh, no, we can't do that. You missed too much school.
I think this might be the only time I've ever seen Edwards in the same room with Laura and not calling her half pint, by the way.
That's right.
Really, yeah. Almost barely acknowledged her, which I just thought was kind of interesting.
Hmm.
But our he's like, sorry. His favorite cell.
Say it again.
Oh, Laura's like his favorite cell.
Yeah, but I mean, there's like no, like, I don't know. They didn't like use that here.
Then us go.
He is. Oh, is that true, Mary? Did your father say that?
Because you can't believe
yes,
Laura.
Yes, sir, he did. He thought it was a fine idea.
You're all going to H-E double hockey sticks. Bunch of lies. Lies. So, yeah, Edwards, of course.
What do you think, Grace?
Oh, it's up to you. I'm not going to say a thing.
I like how Edwards turns to Grace and, you know, kind of has a discussion. But with Pa, Caroline can stay in the kitchen.
I'm the head of the house.
Yeah. Like, it's my choice. You're the woman. Very sexist.
Yeah. All right, but make sure you're caught up on your chores.
Yes, sir.
When I get out of here, let me finish up with these curtains.
Thanks, Pa.
Thank you.
So, they have a field trip, and it's going to be incredible. Carl is not the sharpest tool in the shed, though, because first thing that he does is he goes, well, it's not really his fault so much. He was kind of pushed into it, and it's a little bit of a long scene, but he's at the mercantile. He's looking at one of these small train replicas, and he's all excited because he's going to get to see a train up in real life. And Willie pops in, and do you guys want to talk about what happens in this next scene?
He gives him the peer pressure.
He gives him, like, fireworks.
I don't know if it's peer pressure so much, because it's not like Willie's, you know, Willie wants to make a direct trade, you know?
Yeah.
I would think peer pressure would be more along the lines of, well, I'm doing it, you should too.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, he was definitely tempted. It's like, hey, you know, what have you got to trade? So he trades him, he calls his penknife Crummy, which is funny. It's like, it's kind of crummy, but he decides to trade him for Aggies.
It's like day 23 of quarantine.
Yeah.
Fireworks in the house.
Yeah. And what does he do? He literally does that, right? He may as well have gone into their living room and lit the fireworks off. Who lights fireworks off in a barn? There's hay everywhere. It's easily not a smart move. And yeah, this one little rocket is pretty much the entire Macy's Day, New Year's Macy's or whatever they are. What are they called? The Grouchy fireworks that they do in Manhattan, where it's just like ongoing fireworks in this little tiny rocket.
Yeah, like they did in the As Long As We're Together
episode. Yes. Right. They had one of these rockets. But yeah, it was, he gets punished, right? So they're like, well, look, what can we really do to him? We don't want to be too harsh to him, but he has to learn a lesson. And Edward says, tell him he can't go. You know, it's probably the most logical thing to do, and it's always painful.
Yeah, my parents would definitely say that.
Say that again?
I said my parents would have definitely said that.
Yeah, I mean, as a parent, I have a very tough time laying down some punishments because, you know, it's really hurting them. You know, it's, but that's the point of it, so a lot of times you just have to really stick with it. Charles pops into the post office and learns that over time, Grace is actually, although she was in agreement, she feels as though he's been punished enough. And I'll play some of that.
Uh-huh. Got any mail for me?
Oh, yes, indeed. Here you are.
A new catalog. Afford to buy anything that's in it. It's free and it's fun to look at.
Charles, you know about what happened with Carl.
Yeah.
Well, I was very upset. And now his little heart's just about broken about not going.
Oh, I know, the girls told me.
I think he's learned his lesson. But now I can't get Isaiah to change his mind.
Surprisingly, it's usually the easy one.
I know. Trouble is, I told him that, and now he's trying to show me just how firm he can be. Would you talk to him, please?
I'll give it a try.
Oh, thank you, John. Right.
So, yeah, Isaiah seems like the kind of guy who'd be like, well, it's all right, you know. It's only one person you killed, you know.
He seems more like the fun parent, like.
Well, it depends. I guess it depends on the opinions of my son. Certainly has parents who are like that, and right now with what's going on, there's a lot of distance learning. I'm sure you guys know a bit about this. And, you know, my son does, you know, he's a very apt student, but he has some friends who have parents who are less interested in these type of things. And they're basically doing 24/7 Fortnite, doing no homework, doing none of these video chats, and they're just going to fall behind. And it's a very sad state of affairs. And my son gives me that look of, you know, hey, you know, how come they can... how come they don't have to learn how to read? You know, but, no, it's just, my son's in sixth grade, so it's a very important time, for him to learn these basic fundamentals of pre-algebra and things like that. And, and as somebody with, a push and a personal investment in continued education, you know, not just, you know, learning what you learn. I just feel as though it's very important. So anyway, that's my little rant about what
My school is the Waltons.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I never saw an episode, so I don't really truly know what that means. Well, it's in the Depression.
Yeah.
It's poor.
That is your homework.
The homework is very simple, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, no, wait.
Your homework is to watch an episode.
Oh, there you go.
Well, it's a really good show, Mark.
I'm going to one day turn to it, but right now, believe it or not, I'll make this little announcement because by the time this episode airs or is released, it will probably be in existence. Leah Mitchell and I are working on another podcast, completely different than all of this. And it's actually fully her idea, and it's about the Unsolved Mysteries TV show. I don't know if either one of you ever watched that before.
Mm-mm.
No, it's on, like, Prime. It's on, like, the streaming services. But it's about true crime, and we're basically going to do exactly what we do here, except we're going to do it with Unsolved Mysteries. So she's kind of a true crime buff, so... Look forward to that. Same exact format, actually. So not too much will change, just the subject matter. But Warner Grove Cast is still going. We're still moving forward. And as a matter of fact, I even spoke to a producer of a small series called Living on a Prairie. I don't know if either of you have ever heard of it.
No, I don't think so. Oh,
I'm writing it down.
It's LIVIN apostrophe. Like, so it's like Living on a Prairie, like from Bon Jovi. Living on a Prairie, and if you've ever seen, like, Sex in the City or that type of show, it's about a single girl who's dealing with her love of Little House on the Prairie. Sounds like both of you. I don't know, Courtney, if you're a relationship person, but Dottie, I know that you're right now focusing more on your own personal health than you are anything else. You call exercise your boyfriend, which I think is very cute.
And no one else.
Well, there's always Walnut Grove, right? So, so basically it's short mini series. Like it's about 30 minutes total episodes, you know, it's, maybe 6 episodes, 5 minutes each. And it's about a single woman who essentially is going through modern life. It takes place in current time and she goes on like dates and like people are like, what's your favorite TV show? Is it like, you know, Breaking Bad or Stranger Things, and she's like, no, it's a little different than that. So not to give it too much. And people, what's the first thing that people do when you bring up Little House on the Prairie? What's the first show that you compare it to, or people do? You just brought it up, the Waltons.
Oh, yeah, or When Calls the Heart.
What do they compare it to?
When Calls the Heart?
Never heard of that.
It's on the Hallmark Channel.
Yeah, the Hallmark Channel.
Yeah, that's why I didn't hear it. I'm not going anywhere near the Hallmark Channel. No offense or anything like that. It's just, yeah, it's not my demographic. So essentially she has this long diatribe about, like, no, it's not the Waltons. It's like, Little House on the Prairie deals with some serious stuff, you know, and she goes and it's pretty hilarious, actually. But I'll put a link to it. I'll post a link to it, actually, in the group maybe today. It's really hilarious.
There's a book like that I've read from the library. I think it's like something. It's a little camp or something, and they have to go, and it's like a Little House on the Prairie camp or something. I don't remember what it's called. But it's based on Little House on the Prairie.
Find that book. I need you to figure out what that is.
I need to remember what it's called, yeah.
If it's... I have an idea of what it might be.
Ingalls is ruining my life.
Wait, what is it?
Called Laura Ingalls is, like, ruining my life. It's like a modern story of a girl who actually moves to Walnut Grove, and she hates, like, how obsessed everyone
is. Yeah, it was so good. I read that part of it. I need to finish it.
That's really funny.
That's good.
Now, there's also the Wilder Life, My Adventures in the Lost World of Little House on the Prairie.
Hmm?
Did you ever hear of that?
Mm-mm.
Never heard of it.
That's actually by an author named Wendy McClure. And I came across this book, and I ordered it and bought it, and then I found her on Facebook and friended her. And she sent me a book. So it was weird. Like, at the same time, she sent me a copy of her book that I actually bought a copy. So at least I supported her book. But she was nice enough to send it, and I'm going to start reading that this week. And she's going to come on the show and talk about her book. But that's pretty – it's like her own adventures in the lost world of Little House on the Prairie. It's like her own personal journey.
I need to write a book. I need to write a book now. I have time. Money
here, Mark. Yeah, that's you should. I'll help promote it. You know, I do have a publishing background, so what you should do, in all seriousness, the both of you should. But Dottie, you have a really interesting idea, and I don't want to sell it to somebody else. So, you know, you still have a couple weeks before this episode will get released. But you had the idea of writing out life lessons that you learned from Little House on the Prairie, or things that people should learn from Little House. What was your idea?
Yeah.
It was like a TED Talk format.
That was just for a YouTube video, but I was thinking of doing this kind of like a book that Wendy did, but it was life lessons from the prairie. I haven't read Cassandra's book yet. What's her name?
I don't know.
Melissa Francis.
Yeah.
I haven't read that one yet, but sort of like that, but from a fan's perspective.
Okay. It's like everything I learned in life, I learned on Little House on the Prairie or something. Yeah. I'm good with titles. I'm just not really great with writing.
You know? Yeah.
I actually have worked on several books and written quite a bit. I just don't, I lose interest by the time I'm about 80% through something. And with Walnut Grove Cast, I'm only about 70% there, so. We're getting close. So anyway, let's get back to 1876, where they're talking Edwards into allowing the kids to go, and he's still pretty adamant about not letting them.
Sounds good. I'll be ready.
Yeah. Carolyn's going to make lunches for us. How many are going to be needing?
Just one.
Still haven't changed your mind about the boy, huh?
Oh, he's got to learn his lesson.
I know that, but we all make mistakes.
First, everybody thinks I'm too soft with the youngins. Then the first time I punish them, they think I'm too hard with them.
I didn't say that.
This is the same conversation I have with my wife, because I don't feel like she's the tough one. And she's always like, it's okay. Just do what you want. Okay, it's only $20. Yeah, just put it, you know, just buy the stupid game. And I'm like, no, you have to blah, blah, blah. And I'm always the bad guy. That's okay.
It's like the opposite with my parents.
Oh, really? Your dad's the softy? All right. So you're punished. Nothing's going to happen. Still not changing his mind. Carl even has a cute little moment where you can just see the kind of guilt that any parent would kind of fall for, which is right here. Him coming out to, you know... say hi, and he's in his long johns, I guess. Dad. What?
I love you, Dad.
Yeah, so he says this. What do you say?
Pa? Have a good trip tomorrow.
Don't go dying on me. So it's like, geez. I mean, that one little, I don't know, gesture is just so, you know, it's crazy. So 1 minute, 45 seconds later, we're here.
And I tell you, better make some extra sandwiches for that trip tomorrow. Well, that boy eats like a horse.
Sucker. He's suckered twice so far. Charles has been suckered once. He's been suckered twice.
I thought Caroline was making sandwiches.
Yeah, well, you know, these are backup sandwiches, and we all know that in reality, Caroline does not make the best sandwiches. That's the reality here, I think. She's a good pie maker, but come on.
Oh, yeah, she makes the best pies.
They look good, anyway. She makes the best pies. So the girls and the boy, the child, they go and they're looking at the steamer. Like, woohoo, we get to see it. And pretty much just like most things in life, they're kind of bored already, right? You look at it, you're done, right? It's kind of like, I've always wanted to see what this, you know, it's like going to the Statue of Liberty. It's like, wow, it's bigger than I thought. All right, let's head on home now.
I climbed that. It was hard.
Yeah, I went on, when did I go? Like fourth grade. And then I went 2 years ago. And we were just like
in eighth grade.
Oh, see? Yeah, you do. But that's a good trip, though. Eighth grade from Texas to New York, that's a pretty good trip.
Yeah, it was like 2 weeks. We went to like Virginia, Massachusetts, Maryland, and all
that. Nice. Mm-hmm. Was that a school trip or a...
That was a school trip. I went to a charter school in eighth grade, so...
That's why.
Did something different.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But yeah, once you're there, you know, you go to the gift shop, you're pretty much done with it, you can, you know, like, hey... They should put in more elevators. So, when I was, I'm of the people who went where we remember going to the torch, but supposedly you were never allowed to go up to the torch, while I was alive. So I don't know. I remember going up spiral staircases, but
yeah,
I don't know. It could have easily been. It could have easily been just kind of a foggy memory that I kind of built up in my head, but pretty sure I was up there. Pretty sure. All right. So they're walking by the steamers, and the conductor sees them walking by, so he decides to do a little prank. You know, there's nothing quite as funny as a railroad prank that could harm you because of a burst of steam. So here we go. It's a visual gag, but I like the response that they get.
Uh-huh. Got yourself a steam bath, didn't you? You kids be careful.
Yes, sir.
He done that on purpose.
No, he wouldn't do that.
Yeah, he would. That's the most evil laugh I've ever heard. It's like going to haunt me in my nightmares. So basically the first thing they do, they've been there for what, 5 minutes?
Yeah, not even.
They're already getting bored. They're already grabbing levers and turning them. And have you guys ever gone to look at a train like this up close?
No, I haven't.
Really?
We have one, like, there's a little caboose thing at a restaurant we used to go to, and it's like in the back of it.
Oh, like a caboose restaurant?
No, I think it was like a barbecue place, and mm-hmm. there was a, I think it was the front of a train, and we got to like,
oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
Here on the East Coast, we have, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, they actually have one of these steam engines that you can take rides on. You know, it's, when your kids are really small, like, you know, it's really fun and stuff, but it is a real locomotive, Lancaster being big part of the railroad community. And it's pretty cool to see these things up close. You guys would love Lancaster because the Amish will, of course, remind you of the outfits of Little House in the Prairie.
Mm-hmm. So I would go right on with them.
Yeah. Well, we've befriended quite a number of Amish people over the years. And this one girl, Linda, she does her pie stand. You know, this is like her, they have a big farmhouse. You drive up and Linda and her family are out there selling pies and preserves and doing their whole thing. It's all made right there in their like barn. And she's barefoot all the time and she's just selling. It's like, put on some shoes, Linda. But it's just their way, and they're some of the nicest people. And we, but they sew their own, these particular people anyway, they sew their own clothes. And some of the stuff they make isn't so great, in my opinion. There's fermented sodas. So they make a root beer. And I just think, I don't know, they do it wrong. You get kind of a farty sulfur spill.
Yeah, I've never liked root beer.
I like root beer if it's done correctly, but they don't do it correctly. I'm like, it smells like farts. All right. And it literally does because it's sulfur. So here we go. They're going to hop on a caboose because, you know, why not, right?
I remember my dad telling a story about him and my uncle playing on a caboose. But I don't remember if it's real or if he just made it up.
Well, I would imagine that, you know, well, a caboose is one thing, but then there's the, those kind of things with the hobos who go into the sliding doors, which you see on this train later. But, do you guys know where the phrase hobo comes from? Because it's one of these things that blew my mind. I didn't realize it until I really thought about it.
I don't think so.
So hobo means homeless boy, right? And mostly these hobos were kids who were orphans. There was also the orphan train. The orphan train was basically a stagecoach that would be a tour of the United States. And at stops, people could adopt kids. You know, these are kids who were poor and their family couldn't afford to support them or their parents died or who knows what. Very dark time. What?
Tell me you've seen Love Comes Softly.
No.
Oh, those are good movies.
Is that Hallmark?
Yeah, Hallmark.
I think so. But it's like an older show.
Oh, okay. No, I never heard of it, but I'll look into it.
The movies were directed by Michael Landon Jr.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's why I thought you should have seen it already. But
no, I mean, a lot of that stuff kind of fell off my radar. I am familiar with Michael Landon Jr.'s more recent work. It's not Michael Landon Jr.
He does One Called the Heart, too.
No, it's not. I'm thinking of someone else. I have to look at who I'm thinking of. And I'm going to play this clip, and I'm going to have an answer for you when I come back.
Don't go up there! If the train moves, you can get hurt!
Girls, come on, no one will care.
Toot-toot!
For me!
Hey, look!
I was thinking, I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt you. Christopher Landon. I believe he's the other son. He did Happy Death Day, which was actually a pretty good movie. If you're not into horror movies, it's almost like a fun horror movie. It's like kind of lighthearted. It's not so horrible. It's not like Saw or anything.
He's also done like the Paranormal Activity movies. So
yeah. And, actually he did the Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse, which I tried watching because my son is a scout and we tried to like it, but it's a very tough movie to get through. But I did not know that he was involved in the Paranormal Activity franchise. I don't know if he did the first one. I'm looking.
I know he did like the second one. So
second, third, and fourth one, and the Marked ones, which is I guess the fifth. But he seems to be doing a completely. He definitely has a focus as to the kind of shows he wants to do, movies. And it's not Little House.
I think Michael Landon Jr. leans towards that a little bit.
Really? I'm looking here. I know he's not beloved in the world, in the community of Little House on the Prairie. But yeah, When Hope Calls, which is new, right?
I think that's like the spin-off series of When Calls the Heart.
I don't know. I see a lot of his movies start with the word love, so I don't know if he's...
Yeah, that's the Love Comes Softly series. I have it right here.
Oh, okay. And it's worth watching?
Yeah, they're like really good movies.
Oh, okay.
Love's Long Journey, Love's Enduring Promise, Love's Abiding Joy, Love's Unending Legacy, and Love's Unending Dream.
Yeah, he's off my radar. Like, he's just not somebody who I would... have ever seen these shows or movies.
Yeah. He was actually, he did do a little bit of acting. He was like in the Bonanza Next Generation movies.
Oh.
Those came out in like the 90s, I think.
Yeah, he also played Stretch in Superboy. But you know, I mean, when you have the name and you have that kind of those connections that the name clearly brings you towards, yeah, you can absolutely do a lot of the things that you want to do. And it seems as though he really does follow in... I don't know enough about him, but it sounds like he's kind of following in the steps of his father, which is pretty good. It's pretty great. Mm-hmm. But so they go onto the caboose and they're touching everything. They're like... It's like somebody you don't like coming into your car and they start opening everything. Like, what does this button do? It's like, calm it down. You got to stop. You know,
and the car.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? I wish there was an ejector seat you're pressing.
Be careful, you might break it. They made it that way so it won't break.
He's right.
We shouldn't touch anything in here.
By the way, as soon as Laura says, "Don't touch it, you might break it," and he says, "They made it that way, you know, it's not going to break," she goes and she touches it.
Don't hurt to look. Close.
Also, Mary goes and grabs the thing, goes right up. And I believe this is 100% Mary's fault, because I feel the momentum from that forced the entire caboose to shift.
I would have been that person.
Well, you would have had that music. Now, I would imagine that it would take more than... And, you know, an 83-pound girl to shift, you know, maybe a 15,000-pound, you know, whatever this is, caboose. So it's questionable. Also, I would imagine they would have something in there to prevent this from happening so easily.
Yeah, I actually have some notes
on great.
How some of the trains get unconnected, I guess.
I mean, I understand they have to get connected and reconnected. It's possible they were connecting the caboose and they have somebody who's going to come by and actually make sure it's connected before they take off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you have to teach us today?
A runaway train is a type of railroad incident in which unintended rolling stock is accidentally allowed to roll onto the main line. A moving train loses enough braking power to be unable to stop in safely. Or a train operates at unsafe speeds due to a loss of operator control.
Hmm. And they do have those wheels that, you know, we see them kind of trying to turn. And there's one of those in the front and there's one of those in the back. And essentially what those do is they make the wheels adjustable. So because just like when you're driving your car, you have to kind of move the wheel a little bit, even if the road is straight. You know, it's like, and, you know, you have to move it a little bit to kind of keep it dead center. And that it's basically to true up those wheels. And if you were to turn it one way, you could slow it down because it creates friction. And that would, of course, slow it down. So there's one of those in the back and there's one in the front. They're dopey kids, so they don't know what they're doing. So they're trying to turn it, which... should do something, but it really did literally almost nothing, I'm sure. They also had some pretty decent speeds going on. So we're about to learn how quick they actually, you know, how quickly this starts, which is right now. Right now.
Put those back.
I'm not hurting them. I'm just looking.
He takes down a box, says danger. Right? Hey, I wonder what's in here. They're wearing this guy's Stetson. Guy's wearing a conductor's hat. Like, what a bunch of snot-nosed brats.
What do you suppose they are?
I think Mary's right. You better put them back.
It says danger on them. Now put them back.
Girls. All right, I'll put them back. Girls. I'd still like to know what they are.
Carl's a real brat. He really is. Yeah. He takes out a bowl of apples that are in a Pyrex bowl that probably wouldn't be made for another 40 years. But
nothing dangerous about these?
No, they don't belong to us.
They wouldn't want this one.
Why not?
I already took a bite of it.
Tastes good.
What a brat. Now, if we're going to go by the Bible, what can you guys tell me about an apple that leads to bad things?
Well,
so, you know, it's just kind of, it's so bratty that he would just eat that. It just lets us know that Carl's kind of a jerk.
Yeah, imagine this in season 4 with Andy instead of Carl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't feel the momentum. They're up to about 30 miles per hour. They don't feel the momentum. The wind's like blowing through Mary's hair. She's like, she's just noticing. They're about 18 miles away now.
Hey, we're moving!
The only thing that would have made this slightly better, and correct me if I'm wrong, tell me if you disagree, is if Mary was already blind.
She'd be freaking out.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even got on the train.
Well, you know, that's why it would be great. You know, they would convince her. Come on.
Gotta get off!
We can't! It's going too fast!
So, yeah, they're going way too fast already. I don't know. I don't know how they would have picked up speed so fast, but it wouldn't be such a great show if we couldn't just have a disconnect from reality. So, meanwhile, Pa and Mr. Edwards are packing up the wagon, right?
What's going on right there?
Got a runaway caboose! There's some kids on a runaway caboose!
What's going on?
It's a runaway caboose with some kids on it.
Now, how many more times do you think they say the word caboose in this episode?
About 15.
15,000. So they really do say caboose a lot. So I'm just going to point it out each and every time moving forward. The stupid kids are on the runaway caboose. Charles, of course, is like, kids are on a caboose? Well, they're obviously mine.
Laura!
Carl! Mr. Nelson, what?
Not Mary. Just Laura.
I know, right? I heard that too.
What's the matter? The runaway caboose.
What?
With two kids on it.
Well, don't stand there, but that's a conductor.
Go on. There are kids on that caboose.
Go on. It's just. Now, like we were talking about, there's no like specific brake on these cabooses. Caboose. But, you know, they really should have thought about that, maybe. Maybe they should have. A break in the event something like this happens. Was this a common thing, do you think?
Probably not.
Yeah, nobody's dumb enough, right?
Plus, they wouldn't have kids running around all the time.
Well, that's actually a very good point. They wouldn't have kids just kind of messing with things. So we have the kids kind of complaining and... this is actually a good scene. The caboose is actually coming to a slowdown. And I think they'd sped up to like 50 at this point. So maybe we're slowing down to maybe just 40 were coasting along. I'm not sure. It's very quick, though.
Slowing down.
What I was thinking.
Maybe it'll stop.
Or go slow enough so we can jump.
Come on, before it starts going.
You gotta jump, Mary.
I can't.
You gotta jump, Mary. Hang on to the rails and jump.
Imagine if she's blind in this scene. It's incredible. Actually, she might be blind the way she's acting.
I can't! You got to, Mary! You'll be all right if you want me to, I'll jump before you! Jump, Mary! I can't!
They would be so dead if they jumped.
I think I would have jumped if it was going a little bit slower.
I wouldn't jump, no.
I'd
be in the train wreck. No, thanks. Might sprain my ankle. So they're trying to, I don't know, they're looking for any type of hope here. Charles, of course, goes and talks to the people who are in charge, and they just happen to know exactly a plan. They, as Dottie put it, plan A, right? They're going to call, or that was plan A, right? To jump.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Their plan is basically to do a Morse code to another station and get them to shift the track, I guess, so that, because there's about to be a collide of a train versus the caboose.
Still can't raise him.
How far to the Talmadge?
Around the loop, 28 miles.
No, not around the loop. Cutting across from here.
Oh, it's 3 or 4 miles, but that's rough country. It's all standing on end.
I'll unhitch the team.
Homer will be back. Plenty of time.
Try the tower again.
Just did. No answer.
Well, you'd better try Sleepy Eye, because that special is due out of there in 21 minutes.
I tried. The line's dead.
What special? Train, with all the big brass riding her. J.W. Diamond, president of the railroad himself.
And all of his friends.
That train will run right into the loop and hit the caboose.
No, it won't. The tower will stop it.
Well, I can't take that chance. I was going to go to the junction. I'll ride to Sleepy Eye, stop that train.
We'll keep trying.
So Charles to the rescue. Now, he mentioned, I didn't catch this the first time, the name of the politician or the head of the train foundation or whatever you want to call it. He called him J.W. Diamond. But when I did a search for who this might have been, I came up with a couple different names. I couldn't really do it because it's this father and son type of thing. They seem to be kind of disliked. So I thought that might have been, I've been able to like find who they are. But all I could really find is that it's possible this is James J. Hill. And his son, not really sure. But of course, this would only make that man about 50 years old. So I don't really think that it's totally, I mean, it's also not an accurate show from time to time, right?
Yeah.
But if it is him, that was the person who was the president of the Canadian American Railroad, but it was also the, covered this entire area. So I don't know. I felt like it was, I feel like I'm missing something. And it's possible this is based on actual people, because why have this little weird squabble if it was didn't have some representation to real life?
Yeah, well, the train that they use in the show was actually not built until 1891.
Nice.
And the show was actually set in 1876. That's like 15, 20 years.
It's the way of the world. I mean, you know, it's kind of like you can't just say, well, we're going to have to use a different caboose. Like, where do you get a caboose?
Yeah.
Can't go to the caboose store.
Right.
So here's the politician in Sleepy Eye, and he's kind of going on and on. The conductors are waiting for him to kind of finish his speech. Right after.
Thanks to the railroads, our nation is enjoying its greatest prosperity. And thanks to the St. Paul, Minneapolis, and Manitoba, in which I serve as president, and my son serves as chairman of the board, the farmers in this area can transport their crops to the mills and elevators of Minneapolis and St. Paul and reap the rewards which they so richly deserve.
Yes, and talk.
So he's going on and on. You know, they really are like, oh my god, enough.
They should have let the guy talk.
But you know, right. But you know, I've read all of these numbers attached to the railroad. We all know that, you know, there was a lot of wealth in the creation of the railroad system, and there were so many different companies during this period of time. You know, and so much development. We even know that Walnut Grove would end up, of course, didn't they get bought up by a railroad company in the show?
Yeah, I think, like, there was, like, an episode of, like, season 9, like, the Empire Builders, where they mentioned...
the Grangers were selling off, or something. I don't remember. it's really kind of, you know, the development, but in their money, it was costing roughly $10,000 per mile, which is kind of insane if you think about it. Because adjusted for inflation, that's probably about $250,000 per mile that the railroad would cost. And it's a lot of money, you know, especially when the guy said that the stretch of train was 27 miles. Now you're looking at a tremendous, tremendous amount of money that was being spent in, you know, late 19th century money. So millions and millions and millions of dollars being spent. So they're already running a little bit late, right? The train is one of those things where they really take a lot of pride, or at least it seems they used to, outside of New York, to run on time. Here, they make believe that they're running on time all the time, but they're really not. So here the kids are in the caboose, and they're all just kind of thinking, whose fault is it? Which is just kind of hilarious at this point.
We're not slowing down, are we?
No. If anything, we're going faster. It's downhill as far as I can see.
It's all my fault. I would have jumped when you told me to.
It's not your fault.
It's a little your fault, right? They should have jumped.
She's the one who climbed up, so.
They should have jumped. Then, you know, that would have been really, really exciting.
It's mine. I'm the one who got you on this thing in the first place.
I'm the oldest. Shouldn't have let you do it.
You couldn't have stopped me.
You're a girl.
Well, what's that got to do with it?
A lot, that's what.
Well, what?
Never mind.
Pick your battles, Mary. Seriously. Like, all right, he made a sexist comment. I'm going to fully agree with the fact that it's an inappropriate statement. But, like, you're getting into an argument right now over this? Seriously?
I mean, you have worse issues. You're on a runaway train.
Right. But, yeah, but I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. Very funny. I want to play the family squabbling a little bit on the train, the politicians, but they're really just rich people. And it's real dopey. The son is real dopey. It's why I really wish I could have found something to at least see that there was a father who knew what he was doing with a son who was a little bit slow. So here we are.
Dad?
What?
Thought I was going to get to read my speech this time.
Didn't you hear what I just said? Time and tide and railroads wait for no man.
But you promised.
Herbert, I didn't get to finish my speech either, but I'm not complaining, am I?
No, but you never finish a speech.
This guy, he's got to be 40 years old. Grow up. Come on, man.
Right.
So we don't really see too much more of them, a little bit more later. But there's one part where I don't know who was on the wagon. I don't even know actually when this happens. But a wagon is going after it happens after this. The wagon is going after the train. Maybe to just alert them, but it's kind of like they do one of these like drift car race move and the wagon practically flips over. Like, what were you planning on doing? You're making the horse run at the train. It just seems kind of crazy to me. Like, what were you really intending to do? I guess maybe just get attention and get them to slow down for some reason. But we have, let's see, things are getting kind of crazy because they find out that the train that these politicians or railroad types are on is going to collide with the caboose, and it's going to kill a lot of people, probably. So here we are.
Why, coming down the
left. She's left already, Mrs. Mister.
Missed it. It's not supposed to leave until 10 o'clock.
I know, but they left earlier.
There's children in that caboose. If that train hits it...
A message from Power Junction. Couldn't switch off the caboose. That mean anything?
That means there's somewhere between here and the tower. Look, it's an uphill grade all the way out of here. Man on a fast horse could possibly catch...
Where's delivery?
Right down the street there.
Pa steals a horse, right? To save the lives of his children. And Edwards. Edwards doesn't seem too involved for a lot of this, right? Normally is, though. He's normally in the center of any type of devastation. For the next, I'm going to say, 4 or 5 minutes, what we see are probably some of the, the loftiest stunts to ever occur on Little House on the Prairie. Very Jesse James style. He achieves the impossible by jumping from the horse onto the train. Do you know of any other Little House episodes where there are more stunts?
Not that I can think of.
I mean, when I was watching this, I was like, wow. I mean, they do use a lot of shots over and over again, like in the old Western days. It's a little bit like Bonanza in that sense, but it's, for the most part, pretty decent. Charles somehow gets from the horse onto the train. I always wondered how they would get a horse to not be afraid of running next to this, like, you know, the train. It always kind of amazes me. But
yeah, because most horses are like
pretty
afraid
timid.
Of loud noises and
yeah. But here we go. This is what happens when Charles jumps onto the what would you call these? These aren't stage. Yeah, I guess these are other stage coaches, but these are like regular seats.
Hey, come back there! Hey, stop that man!
So this sound that you're hearing is pretty much all you get for the next 5 minutes. It's a lot of this going on, and you see somebody who looks a lot like Michael Landon climbing over this train. I don't know. I'm going to guess this was...
Al Burton, maybe? Or
well, Brian Renfro, who worked with the animals a lot on Little House, he became a stuntman, and I'm wondering if it's possible he found some stuntman work to do on Little House. And that's something I might reach out to him and check on. He's somebody I want to check on anyway. But he's actually writing a book. He was a Vietnam vet, and he's writing a whole book about his experiences. But if you ever heard the interview I did with him, he talks about some really great stories of him just driving around Los Angeles with the two Melissas on a PA system singing Christmas songs. It's kind of funny. But I'm kind of wondering if it is Ryan. He would know who it is, at least. So I'm going to reach out to him and try to follow up on who it might be. But yeah, it's a lot of this. You know, it's just going on and on and on and on and on. Charles makes his way to the conductor box. I don't know. What would you call this?
Don't know, because I'm not really familiar with trains.
Like, so. In a plane, you have a cockpit, and yeah, I don't know what this is. The engineer's room, let's call it. So here we go. This is Charles busting in.
You gotta stop the train.
What?
You gotta stop the train and back it up.
You gotta be crazy.
There's a caboose coming down the loop with kids on it.
What are you talking about?
You gotta stop the train.
This caboose, is it all by itself?
Look, mister, if you don't stop this train, you're going to kill 3 kids.
Listen, I'm going to tell you something. The last time a guy tried to stop my train, his friends were waiting to rob me.
So, yeah, I mean, that's the first thing I would think. Like, you're trying to hijack the train.
Right?
Yeah. It's like, I know about Jesse James. Relax. So he convinces them to start slowing it down because they start seeing the train in the distance. From what I understand, these trains are very difficult to not only stop, but then to reverse. But they somehow pull it off. It's like Back to the Future 3. They are able to do amazing physics all of a sudden. They're about, Charles is yelling to the kids to go into the caboose because they're trying to pull the wheel that would slow down the caboose. But if they are out there and the train hits, they're going to get hurt. They would easily be thrown off. But, Yeah, so they're like, let's slow it down. I'm sorry, I thought that was a different scene. Here, it's Charles trying to yell to them over the roaring noise. But he's somehow able to communicate with them over about 100 yards.
They better not be standing out there when we hit.
So Charles, you know, goes around to the front of the train.
Get back in line! Inside and hang on!
It's your Pa!
Hi, Pa! It's like, I'm waiting for that, like, don't be mad, Pa!
Inside and hang on!
What did he say? I don't know, there's so much noise!
What do you think he said? He said, don't do what you're doing, it's always that. It's always go somewhere else. Jump. Throw Mary overboard. that's what they should have done. So it's a very visual thing, but the train hits a couple times. It finally latches on, and the main train is able to bring them to a complete stop. They have now... It should be written up in newspapers everywhere, runaway caboose, but... Nobody really, you know, does that. It would have been great as a follow-up type of thing to say, hey, look, you made the paper. The Sleepy Eye Herald or something. But Charles comes in and grabs his girls, and even Carl gets in on some of that hugging.
They're fine.
Isaiah walks in, Carl's still hugging Pa. Carl has this look of like, I'm going to get a whooping. And Isaiah puts his arms out, of course, and everything seems to be pretty okay.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's a trick, and he grabs him and starts beating him, which should have been the case. The kid deserves a whooping. He ate the apple. He did a lot of bad things. We have the owner or the president of the train to come on.
You young man, you had yourselves quite a ride.
Yes, sir.
I got the pulling and pushing things, and I guess I pulled the wrong thing.
Be a strange young man who didn't push and yank when he had a chance. I've done it myself. Only let's hope that next time you don't turn one of my cars loose and upset all these railroad men.
No, sir.
Yeah, we better get this train moving. You kids want to ride back here in the caboose with your fathers?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. As long as it's hooked to the engine.
Now he's got jokes, so they're fine. All in a day's work for them. Now they have to travel, like, how far to get back to the wagon? This is costing them a day's work. Mm-hmm. They get back, their wagon's stolen or something. And terrible, terrible. These kids... Carrie would not have done this.
Oh, yeah. Carrie would have stayed off it.
Yeah, Carrie would have said, I shouldn't go. Gracie would have been, at this point, kidnapped. Because that will happen. So
mm-hmm.
That's probably the next time we get to see these type of shots of trains and stations. We won't see it for several... Actually, no, we get to see... trains quite a bit on Little House, at least once a season, right?
Yeah, close to it.
And I guess that's it. You know, public transportation on Little House in the Prairie. Don't go on a caboose. Don't go where you shouldn't be. But do you guys have any final thoughts or any thing you wanted to add to the episode?
Not at this time.
Okay. Well, we can't add it later. So I'm just kidding. But, all right, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to come on to Walnut Grovecast today. I don't know why, but I'm getting 1,000 texts like crazy. Oh, no, and it's Dottie Cashin. Oh, okay. Did we lose Dottie? I don't know. I think we lost Dottie a minute ago. I'm sorry. I thought she was just being quiet. So I'll respond to her in just a moment. But Dottie, in the future when you hear this, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. Courtney, as always, thank you so much for doing this. And hopefully we can, you know, put a few more of these on, you know, in the can, so to speak. And I'm going to check out your suggestions for Michael Landon Jr. art, his work. Hopefully you take a look at Christopher Landon's work. But yeah, if you visit Walnut Grovecast on Facebook, you'll find Courtney making posts here and there. Same with Dottie and with me. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe, leave a review. That's it. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting Walnut Grovecast by heading over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Any support is appreciated.